I'm just going to pass out communion elements. We're not going to take communion quite yet. It will be part of the, as we move through the remainder of our time together. So I'm just going to pass the baskets. You guys just send them backwards. I don't have people handing them out. I don't think we need that. But could you just flag me down if anyone needs gluten-free? I know two of you off the top of my head, but if there are others, just flag me down because I have that stuff as well. And then we will continue on. Okay, let me just give you a couple of announcements while we hand out those elements. Just a reminder, if there are people here that are still thinking about baptism, we are going to have a baptism service at some point in the near future. We haven't nailed down a date, but if that's something God is putting on your heart to pursue or at least investigate, then please reach out. Let's have a conversation because that will be happening in the not-too-distant future. In the even more not-too-distant future, not this Friday, but the following Friday, we're partnering with Hope Mission to put on a dinner once again for the families of those that are involved in that program. And so we've done this a number of times, but if you are interested in signing up to help serve, so it's roughly 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock we're going to be putting on this meal. I don't remember the location off the top of my head, but anyway, if you're interested in serving, or if you're interested in providing some store-bought desserts to give out during that time, there's a sign-up sheet that we have sent out with the weekly email. Just click on the link, add your name to one or both of those categories, and that would be great. Because the dinner is not this Friday, but the following one, I'll need to know who is coming and what we are providing by this Friday so that I can let Hope Mission know, hey, we have this number of people coming, we will have this number of desserts provided, so that if they still need to fill in gaps, they have a week to make sure that happens. So if you could sign up this week, that would be awesome. Lastly, we are having a meeting about the whistle, this prophetic word that we shared with you a number of weeks ago and have been entering into conversation about. We're going to be doing that at 12:30 at my office here today. If you want to hear more about that, please come. I hope you brought a chair. If not, you still have some time to sneak home and grab one. I have a few extras as well at the office, but anyone's welcome to come. We'll share a little bit, but it is more of a time to engage with one another. And so all are welcome. No one is pressured into coming. It's if you think that this would be helpful or you would like to engage in some way. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, we bless your name. Would you make yourself great in our presence today? Would you make sure that we, as your people, bow the knee, reminding ourselves and you that you are to be glorified? I think of that psalm that says, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be glory. It's about you. It's not about us. I pray that as we move through this time, that would be the constant reminder. It's about you. It's not about us. But thank you, Lord, that you invite us in. Thank you that you are a God who has reached down to your people, has walked among your people, has worked on behalf of your people, and continues to do so. So, Lord, may we engage with the God who is not far from us in this time. Would you open your word to us and open us to your word? Make us more like Jesus in this process. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you go to John chapter 17, please? All of John is deep, and these verses might be among some of the most deep, and I am by no means going to cover everything in this. I can't. In fact, I'm being very selective about what I cover in just these 12 verses. There are things I am going to miss, And I encourage you to fill in those gaps during the week, as well as to make what we cover here your own, because this isn't even the meal, right? This is sort of the start of the meal, but I hope it's a little bit more like the appetizer, and then you get into the rest of the meal during the week as we just sort of set the table and just get into it a little bit. Secondly, this is not going to be a regular sermon. I am approaching this more from the perspective of this is going to be a time for you to engage with the Lord. So don't think of yourself so much as the audience, so much as as my audience, as you are the participant one of the participants in an engagement with the Lord. During this time, we're going to enter into communion, and that's a time for you and the Lord. I'll share a little bit from the scriptures, and then we're going to move into prayer, and this is going to be another time with you and the Lord. So this is a different sort of message. After we move through the message and after the prayer time, we're going to enter into musical worship, because of course this is worship as well, but we're going to enter back into musical worship. We're going to have a couple of songs. After one of the songs, I'm going to come up and invite people who just want prayer to come forward as we continue singing. So we will continue singing, continue worshiping, and there'll just be a few people up at the front who would love to pray with you. If something has either, if there's something that you brought with you that you feel like, I just would love a couple of people who would come around me and pray for this. We'd be happy to do that. Or if there's something that comes up for you in the message or something like that during this time between you and the Lord, there are people here who would love to put a hand around you and say, we'll just amen with you in prayer. We'll guide you in prayer, whatever it is that you need. So we will have that towards the end of this, or at the end of the service. Megan will close out the service. If we're praying with people, Megan will end up closing out the service and bless you to put the chairs away as perhaps there might be ministry time going on. And then we'll, for those who want to gather, go over to my office. I'll probably be there by 12:15 or so. We'll aim to get started about 12:30-ish and see how it goes. All right? John 17. Jesus enters into prayer here. After he spoke, you know, all of these words to the disciples in chapters 14, 15, and 16, Jesus said this. He looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come." He's about to go to the cross. "The hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I brought you glory on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world began." He's about to die and then go to be with the Father. "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words that you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled." And that's where we're going to stop. So this is the word of the Lord. We thank God for his word. Think about another word that Jesus says. He says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What you care most about, what you think most about, comes out. It comes out in conversation. It comes out when we react. It comes out in what we pray about. Now think about Jesus. Think about what Jesus just prayed here. What's in Jesus' heart? Just scan your eyes across the passage we just read again. Just look at it again and see Jesus' heart coming out in the overflow of his prayer. What do you pray about? What's at the top of your list? Personally, that's a convicting question as I ask it to you and deflect from myself, but there's a lot of my stuff I pray about. Actually, if I'm really honest, what do you pray about? What are the first things that come to mind? Now look at what Jesus prays about. Glorify. Glorify me. Glorify yourself, God. Wow. Wow. Glorify yourself, God. Man, I want that heart. What else does he pray about? He prays for other people. He prays a very specific thing for other people, and we will get to that in a moment. But first, he says, the hour has come. Now, this is the end of Jesus' speech. In fact, the speech is over, and he's now praying. And after this prayer gets an amen, he's about to go into the garden. He's about to be betrayed. He's about to stand before on trial before the religious leaders and then before the civil leaders, before the high priests and their council, before Pilate. And he's about to be crucified, and he says, the hour has come. This is your opportunity, Father God, to glorify me and to glorify yourself in the process. This is the opportunity, Father God, for you to look really good, and I pray that you look really good in my hour of complete and utter despair and destruction and suffering. Do we ever enter into times of suffering and say, Lord, this is an opportunity for you to look really good? Glorify yourself, Lord, in this process. Lord, I want to make sure that as I move through this, it honors you and I represent you really well, because you will get credit and glory for that and other people will see it. Oh man, I want that heart, and oh man, I'm nowhere close. And I know I'm nowhere close because my prayers have a whole lot of I and me in them. The hour has come. Glorify yourself. He talks about revealing the Father in this time. You want to know what God looks like? God looks like Jesus. You know what? You want to know what Jesus looks like? You see Jesus most fully revealed on the cross. You want to know what God looks like? God is most fully revealed on a cross. This is the God that we serve. This is why Revelation will call Jesus the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, which A, makes no sense, except it does. B, because it does. God has always been this kind of God who would die for his creation at the hands of his creation, because this is what most fully reveals who he is. That if it's a contest of two egos, He will let your ego destroy his, and it will reveal his character, his love, his glory in the process. This is the God that we serve. He has always been the kind of God who would die for his creation at the hands of his creation, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. If you want to know the essence of God, you look to the cross. This is where we see God on display. So would you grab those communion elements? And I, in my negligence, forgot to get my own, so excuse me. I want you to sit with these and with that that we just covered for a moment. This reveals God. And he did it for you. His ego did not stand in the way. In fact, this is how it would be revealed. This is God on display. So I'm going to give you an opportunity, simply in silence, to sit before the Lord with that. Sit before the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and he did it for you. Let's just pray for a moment. This is who you are, Lord. A body broken. This is how you decided to reveal yourself to the world. And in the process, you exposed what we would do to you and how broken we are. And in doing so, you revealed your glory. You revealed your greatness. We can't even understand you. We can't fathom the depths. We hear this term, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And we don't get it, and yet we are the beneficiaries of that. Of you revealing yourself, of Jesus coming and saying, Lord, glorify yourself to the full extent possible. The hour has come. I'm going. I'm going to the cross, and I'm coming to you out of the cross. Thank you that you would reveal this to us. It produces wonder and awe and worship in us. And so we say, thank you, Lord. We take bread and we take cup in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, thank you that we have life from you. Thank you that you reveal yourself. Would you grow us in appreciation and celebration of your sacrifice? And I pray we would embody it. We would live it out of gratitude. We love you, Lord. Amen. We're going to move on in the passage now. Jesus says in the intervening verses from verses 6 to 8 that he's revealed everything the Father has revealed to his disciples. We've talked about that enough that I feel like we can leave that, having already covered it at other points. Let's move on to verses 9 to 12. Specifically, the first thing Jesus prays for when it comes to his something for his disciples. Even before he prays for protection from the enemy, which we'll cover next week, it's in verse 15, even before he asks the Father that you would protect them from the evil one, he prays for protection against whatever would break unity. Look at verse 11. Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, so that they may be one, just as we are one. Guard the unity, Father. What an interesting thing. So as we talk about unity, a couple reminders. Scripture doesn't say we must maintain unity at all costs. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, Paul will say. Right? Jesus will come and say, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword, and to divide. Part of who Jesus is does bring division. So it is not unity at all costs. But we sure need to try hard to maintain, to do our part. If it is possible, Paul will say, as far as it depends on you, he will say, live at peace with everyone. Where is there a lack of unity right now and it actually depends on you or me? Which raises the question, Ben, why have you been sharing about the whistle if it divides? Good question. I'm glad you asked. Friends, if there are things we can't talk about, we don't have unity, we have false peace. If you have a relationship, whether it's a marriage or friendship or simply church dynamics, if there are things we can't talk about, we don't have unity, we have false peace. And we won't get to unity without talking about them. Secondly, we're talking about the whistle because God raised the topic. And he confirmed it over and over and over and over and over again. So I know he wants to talk about it. So that's why we're talking about it. Lastly, and the remainder of this explanation will have to wait for 12:30. Because it's chess. If you don't know that terminology that we use around here, it's a way of saying because it's spiritual. Because it's a kingdom issue. Okay? And I know that for many who are wrestling with this, as I did for a very, very long time, it doesn't look like chess. It doesn't look spiritual. And it is. And I understand that some don't see that. And I understand that it will take time to come to grips with that. And that's why we're going to have conversation. Because I thought for a long time it wasn't spiritual. And it is. Okay? But how I explain that and how we engage with that's going to take some time. Okay? So come at 12:30. Maybe one last thing to talk about related to the whistle. The whistle never divided me and Joel. It didn't. And in fact, we've had times where we have shared this story with other people, and they're shocked that it never divided the two of us. There are probably a number of reasons for that, not least being Joel's the level of grace and patience Joel had, but it also didn't divide us because we were so focused on we have to pursue the kingdom. There is more. The Spirit is being poured out. We have to focus on whatever God is focusing on. We were praying. We were and are praying together multiple times a week. We're going deep into ministry together, deep into the kingdom together. We have a brotherhood. So it wasn't going to divide us. It doesn't have to divide us. That's all I'll say on that. Unity, that they would be one as we are one, Jesus says, is essential to the church's mission. After Jesus prays, glorify yourself, Father, glorify me, and he talks about how he has accomplished what everything that the Father gave him to do, the first prayer request after that, as it pertains to his disciples, is that they may be one, and they're going to need your protection and your guidance and your support and your strength to make sure that that happens. It is that essential to the church's mission that we not divide over something superficial. Which means we have to do our part. Things like humility and patience and grace and learning not to be offended and to let go of offenses that come and to deal with them in a mature and appropriate and proper way, where we go and say, you offended me, and then we have the conversation about it, to enter into a life of saying, I will live and act like Christ in my relationships with other people for the sake of the mission, for the sake of unity, because it is such a key part. It's going to be absolutely crucial. Learning to practice forgiveness. I release you from all harm done, and I no longer hold it against you. That's what forgiveness is. Are we going to be a people who embody that? So we're going to have to do our part, but Jesus does pray, Father, I need you, and I'm asking you to do your part in this. They're going to need protection, because what does the enemy do? Well, he seeks to get in and divide people. And how does he divide people? Well, he pokes wounds where people say, I've been hurt, I've been offended, this is driving me crazy, and I'm not going to talk about it. He isolates people, he divides, he isolates, and then he pokes wounds and he pokes lies constantly. We build up resentments. We justify why it is that we think this way or feel this way. I don't have to love that brother. I don't have to talk to that sister anymore. And we give ourselves good reasons why. It's their lies. And so we have to pray that God will do his part to maintain unity, but also to empower us to do our part to maintain unity, to let go of resentment and offense and go to the brother or sister when we need to, so that those things can be resolved. Paul says, don't let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the enemy a foothold. A foothold is an opportunity, and it's a place to stand. Have we given the enemy opportunities and places to stand by taking offense, by not dealing with anger, by not letting go of resentment, by not practicing forgiveness? Or by saying it doesn't matter, by sloughing it off as something that it's not that important, when it is? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? That answer is still in this passage. But we're going to find it, and we're going to pray into it. Okay, so would you bow with me in prayer? And between you and God, ask him, Lord, will you identify where there are opportunities in me and around me where there could be disunity, or where it's actually started to take root because I've let something go unresolved, I haven't dealt with it well. Do I have any resentment that's built up? Has my pride ever gotten in the way, Lord? Have I been offended and not dealt with it? ask the Lord to glorify himself and Jesus in your heart. Lord, will you give me a heart that will glorify you at any cost? That just as Jesus prayed, the hour has come. I'm going to the cross. Glorify your Son, glorify yourself. Lord, I pray that we would have hearts that would glorify you at any cost. Because you've given us a heart where you mean more to us than ourselves. Where take up your cross is something that we live, not something we've simply memorized as a truth. But that we embody it. So Lord, what's in the way of me taking up my cross today? Lord, am I in the way of the unity that you want to bring? I'd hate to stand in the way of that answer to Jesus' prayer, Lord. That your people would be one as the Father and the Son are one. Lord, would you make me and would you make us people who have the heart of Jesus to pray that you would be glorified? Lord, be glorified. Glorify me, or glorify yourself and glorify yourself in me at any cost. That I would live the life of Jesus. That I would serve with the heart of Jesus. Someone who didn't let the cost get in the way. Someone whose pride and ego did not prevent him from obedience, from living a life of obedience. Someone who laid it down in obedience and humbled himself. Lord, I bless your work. I bless your people. And I thank you for the example of Jesus. I thank you for seeing your heart in his prayer. It takes us out of our own story and puts us back in your story. Thank you that it's a story of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and that is to glorify you. I bless you, Lord. I bless your people. I bless your work among your people. Lord, would you make us people who will respond well to you, to serve others, and let Jesus be glorified in the process. People who will say that how my brother or sister is doing matters to me. Because it matters to you, Lord. And would you lead us to do our parts well? So that if it is possible, and as far as it depends on us, we would live at peace with our brothers and our sisters. That Jesus' prayer would get answered among us. What an awesome thing, Lord. I pray that Jesus' prayer would get answered among us. that we wouldn't have unity in name, but in reputation. Glorify yourself in that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, friends. We'd appreciate your help with washrooms, cleanup, chairs. All are welcome to join over at my office in about an hour. You're welcome to linger here until I head over, or go get lunch, or go get lunch and bring it with you, whatever you feel like. If you would still like prayer, we'll stick around here for a few minutes up front and pray for any who would still like that. It felt like the Lord said right foot, if you have a right foot, but if there's something going on with your right foot, I'd be happy to pray for you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Go in peace, friends. Thanks for being here.